Hi, I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! For more than 15 years, CJSF 90.1 FM has been bringing Democracy Now! To the greater Vancouver area every weekday at 11 a.m. From New York, this is Democracy Now!
After October 7th, the military basically made a decision that all of these tens of thousands of people are now people that could potentially be bombed inside their houses, meaning not only killing them, but everybody who was in the building, the children, the families. And they understood that in order to try to attempt to do that, they are going to have to rely on this AI machine called Lavender with very minimal human supervision.
Lavender, the AI machine directing Israel's bombing spree in Gaza. We look at how the Israeli military used artificial intelligence to develop a kill list in Gaza of tens of thousands of Palestinians targeted for assassination with little human oversight. We spend the hour with Plus 972 investigative journalist Yuval Abraham on his explosive expose from the Lavender program to Where's Daddy?
These systems track the suspects and wait for the moments that they enter houses, usually family houses or households where no military action takes place, according to several sources who did this, who spoke to me about this. And these houses are bombed using unguided missiles.
We'll also talk to Israeli journalist Yuval Abraham about his film No Other Land, which won Best Documentary at the Berlinale, the Berlin Film Festival, after his acceptance speech, where he called Israel's system of rule apartheid. The grandson of Holocaust survivors received death threats. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. Israel says it'll open Gaza aid routes, including the northern Erez border crossing, after President Biden called for an immediate ceasefire in Gaza in a phone call with Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu Thursday. Biden also reportedly told Netanyahu future U.S. policy will be determined based on Israel's actions to address the spiraling humanitarian disaster. Secretary of State Antony Blinken echoed the remarks as he spoke from the NATO headquarters in Brussels.
And with regard to our policy in Gaza, look, I'll just say this. If we don't see the changes that we need to see, there'll be changes in our own policy.
It's the most direct public warnings issued by the U.S. against Israel, but were not accompanied by any concrete action to prevent Israel from carrying out more killings. The confirmed death toll in Gaza has topped 33,000, over 14,000 of those children. Thousands of others are unaccounted for. The Washington Post reports the Biden administration Monday approved the transfer of thousands more bombs to Israel. The same day, Israeli airstrikes in Gaza killed 7 aid workers with the World Central Kitchen, including a U.S. citizen. Earlier today, Israel released its report on the killing, saying the attack was a serious violation of military procedures and blamed it on mistaken identification of the vehicles. The World Central Kitchen had coordinated with Israeli military officials and received clearance to travel on the route where it was attacked in its clearly marked WCK vehicles. It's demanding an independent investigation. Another video has emerged appearing to show Israeli forces shooting an unarmed Palestinian as he attempted to collect aid. The footage aired on Al Jazeera shows people retrieving airdropped aid packages in northern Gaza. One man is then singled out and shot as he was walking with an aid package. His lifeless body is then left to a pair of dogs. The human rights monitor Euromed released a report this week that found Israel killed 563 Palestinians and injured over 1,500 as the Israeli military targeted distribution centers, workers, and civilians waiting for aid. The Palestine Red Crescent Society called for immediate action to halt the bloodshed.
Members of our teams were killed since the beginning of the war. Those dedicated heroes who lost their lives in service to others. We mourn the loss of our colleagues, our friends, and our loved ones. We cannot wait any longer. Civilians, humanitarians, and medical personnel must be protected and respected. The international community must take action now to end the suffering in Gaza.
Israeli airstrikes continue in Rafah, killing at least two children yesterday. Following the attack, survivors searched the rubble for signs of life.
If the world believes that what is happening in the Gaza Strip is because of what happened on October 7th, then this is a delusion, a great delusion. What happened indicates that there are significant plans that were put in place for the Gaza Strip. And the proof is that it is not possible that plans for displacement and starvation can occur overnight. America is providing some aid to us and giving to Israel military aid. They provide humanitarian aid to us and then provide military aid to them. It is like they are saying, kill them, but nicely.
A new Human Rights Watch report finds an October 31st Israeli airstrike on a six-story apartment building in central Gaza is an apparent war crime. Human Rights Watch released this video accompanying their findings.
Without warning, four munitions struck the building in the space of 10 seconds. The airstrike demolished the building and killed at least 106 people, including 54 children. Human Rights Watch's research found no apparent military target in or near the building. The airstrike violated the laws of war and is an apparent war crime.
Human Rights Watch also urged Israel's allies, including the U.S. and European nations, to suspend arms transfers to Israel and back the International Criminal Court's investigation into likely war crimes. This comes as earlier today, the U.N. Human Rights Council adopted a resolution calling for Israel to be held accountable for possible war crimes and crimes against humanity in Gaza. A doctor at an Israeli field hospital for detained Palestinians said in a letter to government officials, quote, "We are all complicit in breaking the law," unquote, as they described the horrific conditions for Palestinian patients. The doctor said patients at the Negev Desert facility regularly have their legs amputated because of handcuff injuries, and that prisoners are fed through straws, forced to defecate in diapers, and held in constant restraints. In occupied East Jerusalem, Israeli police fired tear gas to disperse worshippers after dawn prayers at the Al-Aqsa Mosque compound earlier today, the last Friday of Ramadan. Israeli authorities have been restricting access to the holy site for Palestinians throughout Ramadan. Today also marks Al-Quds Day, an annual event to express solidarity with Palestinians in opposition to the Israeli occupation. Peaceful protests and other actions are taking place around the world, including in Pakistan, Yemen, Jordan, and the occupied West Bank. The Israeli military has halted all leave for its combat soldiers and drafted reservists amidst a possible escalation with Iran. Tehran has vowed to retaliate after Israel bombed the Iranian consulate in Damascus, Syria, Monday, killing at least seven Iranian officers, including three generals. Israel is also blocking GPS across parts of Syria to disrupt missiles and drones. On Thursday, Netanyahu further escalated threats against Iran.
We will know how to defend ourselves, and we will act according to the simple principle that whoever hurts us or plans to hurt us, we will hurt them.
On Wednesday, the U.S., along with the U.K. and France, opposed a Russian-drafted U.N. Security Council statement condemning the attack in Syria. Meanwhile, the leader of the Houthi movement said 37 people have been killed in U.S. and U.K. strikes on Yemen since the start of the war. The two countries have launched over 400 attacks on Yemen, despite President Biden admitting they would not resolve the issue of Houthi forces targeting ships in the Red Sea to disrupt Israeli-linked trade. In California, activists blocked all entrances to Lockheed Martin's research campus in Sunnyvale, laying down in the rain to prevent workers from entering. Lockheed Martin is the largest arms manufacturer and supplies Israel with F-35s, F-16s, Hellfire missiles, and other weapons Israel uses against Palestinians. At one point, a Lockheed Martin employee was filmed driving his car through a line of activists, nearly running them over before lashing out and yelling, "Somebody's going to die," while waving a knife. This is Christina Liu, an activist from the group Bay Area Palestine Solidarity.
We must stop arming Israel. There is no business as usual while Gaza is destroyed. Lockheed Martin enables another massacre every day in pursuit of endless U.S. military expansion.
Here in New York, the Columbia University chapter of Students for Justice in Palestine say Columbia suspended six students with no due process, giving them just 24 hours to leave university housing before evicting them. The suspensions are part of an investigation into a Palestine solidarity event and come as part of a wider crackdown on student activism for Palestinian rights. Peru's Congress voted against advancing the impeachment process for President Dina Boluarte as she faces a corruption probe dubbed Rolexgate. Boluarte has been accused of illegally acquiring more than a dozen luxury watches and jewelry over the past 3 years. The deeply unpopular president came to power following the December 2022 ousting of Pedro Castillo from office. Since then, she's backtracked on a pledge to hold early presidential elections and oversaw a deadly crackdown on protests following Castillo's ouster. Dozens of people were killed by security forces in what Amnesty International says may constitute extrajudicial killings. Back in the United States, judges, jurors, and more than 70 current and former prison workers are calling for a halt to the scheduled execution next Tuesday of Missouri death row prisoner Brian Dorsey. One former prison officer who knew Dorsey wrote in the Kansas City Star, quote, "From my perspective, after decades in corrections, I do not hesitate to say that executing Brian Dorsey would be a pointless cruelty," he said. Dorsey was convicted of killing his cousin and her husband in 2006. His request for clemency is based on inadequate representation from court-appointed lawyers and the fact that he's turned his life around in prison while working as a barber. Missouri Governor Mike Parson could commute Dorsey's sentence to life without parole. Meanwhile, Oklahoma executed Michael Dwayne Smith Thursday in the first of 25 executions planned this year. This week, Oklahoma Judge Gary Lumpkin told state execution schedulers to, quote, "suck it up and man up" after they requested more time between executions in order to reduce trauma on staff and the potential for errors. In New York, hundreds of housing justice advocates rallied outside the headquarters of the Real Estate Board of New York to demand it stops blocking the passage of good cause eviction legislation. Good cause eviction would protect tenants from huge rent hikes and retaliatory or discriminatory evictions. As protesters peacefully blocked the entrance of the Real Estate Board's building, police started arresting activists. New York City public advocate Jumaane Williams spoke before he, too, was arrested.
The people of the city of New York, the people of this state, deserve not to be evicted frivolously. They deserve to be able to go and say, "Can you please repair my home," without being evicted. They deserve rent that they can afford. The rent is too damn high. It's been too damn high for many years.
And Bishop Thomas Gumbelton, longtime leader in the U.S. Catholic peace and justice movement, has died at the age of 94 in Detroit. He helped found Pax Christi and Bread for the World and was a war tax resister. He was also a survivor of sexual abuse in the church, who was forced to resign in 2007 after he spoke out publicly in favor of an Ohio bill to extend the statute of limitations for cases of sexual abuse by clergy. In 2013, Bishop Gumbelton spoke to Democracy Now! About his work with the Survivors Network of those abused by priests known as SNAP.
What really opened my eyes was when a friend of mine, in fact, the person who started SNAP, came to me and asked me to intervene with the local bishop because the priest who had abused her and who had also abused other people that she was aware of was still functioning. And I said, that's impossible.
You were the bishop of Detroit and he was in Toledo.
Well, I was an auxiliary bishop in Detroit, but I was a friend of Barbara Blaine's. the founder of SNAP for decades. And when she came to me and told me this, I said, well, I'll go see the bishop and I'll talk to him. And I'm sure he's not going to continue to keep this covered up. Well, I went to see him and he assured me, I'll do something about it. I'll take care of it. So I took him at his word, but nothing ever happened. And so that made me realize that some of the, well, best bishops around were not dealing with this issue the way it needed to be dealt with. I mean, it just was terribly wrong to allow a priest to continue to function in a situation where he could abuse other children. And it turned out he was still abusing other people. And so
the priest was.
Yes, and the bishop was allowing this to go on.
That was Bishop Thomas Gumbleton, who passed away Thursday at the age of 94. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. When we come back, we spend the hour looking at how the Israeli military used artificial intelligence to develop a kill list in Gaza of tens of thousands of Palestinians targeted for assassination with little human oversight. From lavender to kill daddy to where's daddy. Stay with us. Kick out the chair. Jams by MC5. Their manager, John Sinclair, passed away Tuesday in Detroit at the age of 82. Leader of the anti-racist White Panther Party, Sinclair was targeted by the government, sentenced to 10 years in prison for possessing two marijuana joints, only to be freed after a massive campaign headlined by John Lennon and Yoko Ono. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. The Israeli publications Plus 972 magazine and Local Call have exposed how the Israeli military used artificial intelligence known as Lavender to develop a kill list in Gaza that includes as many as 37,000 Palestinians who are targeted for assassination with little human oversight. The report is based in part on interviews with six Israeli intelligence officers who'd firsthand involvement with the AI system. 972 reports, quote, Lavender has played a central role in the unprecedented bombing of Palestinians, especially during the early stages of the war. In fact, according to the sources, its influence on the military's operations was such that they essentially treated the outputs of the AI machine as if it were a human decision. A second AI system, known as Where's Daddy, tracked Palestinian men on the kill list. It was purposely designed to help Israel target individuals when they were at home at night with their families. One intelligence officer told the publications, quote, we were not interested in killing operatives only when they were in a military building or engaged in military activity. On the contrary, the IDF bombed them in homes without hesitation as a first option. It's much easier to bomb a family's home. The system is built to look for them in these situations, they said. Today, we spend the hour with the Israeli investigative journalist Yuval Abraham, who broke the story for 972 and Local Call. It's headlined Lavender, the AI machine directing Israel's bombing spree in Gaza. I spoke with Yuval Abraham yesterday and began by asking him to lay out what he found.
Yeah, thank you for having me again, Amy. It is a very long piece. It's 8,000 words. And we divided it into six different steps, and each step represents a process in the highly automated way in which the military marked targets since October. And the first finding is Lavender. So Lavender was designed by the military. Its purpose was, when it was being designed, to mark the low-ranking operatives in the Hamas and Islamic Jihad military wings. That was the intention. Because, you know, Israel estimates that there are between 30 to 40,000 Hamas operatives. And it's a very, very large number. And they understood that the only way for them to mark these people is by relying on artificial intelligence. And that was the intention. Now, what sources told me is that after October 7th, the military basically made a decision that all of these tens of thousands of people are now people that could potentially be bombed inside their houses, meaning not only killing them, but everybody who was in the building, the children, the families. And they understood that in order to try to attempt to do that, they are going to have to rely on this AI machine called Lavender with very minimal human supervision. I mean, one source said that he felt he was acting as a rubber stamp on the machine's decisions. Now, what Lavender does is it scans information on probably 90% of the population of Gaza. So we're talking about, you know, more than a million people. And it gives each individual a rating between 1 to 100. A rating that is an expression of the likelihood that the machine thinks, based on a list of small features, and we can get to that later, that that individual is a member of the Hamas or Islamic Jihad military wings. Sources told me that the military knew, because they checked, they took a random sampling and checked one by one, the military knew that approximately 10% of the people that the machine was marking to be killed were not Hamas militants. They were not. Some of them had a loose connection to Hamas. Others had completely no connection to Hamas. I mean, one source said how the machine would bring people who had the exact same name and nickname as a Hamas operative, or people who had similar communication profiles, like it could be civil defense workers, police officers in Gaza. And they implemented, again, minimal supervision on the machine. One source said that he spent 20 seconds per target before authorizing the bombing of the alleged low-ranking Hamas militant. Often it was also could have been a civilian, killing those people inside their houses. And I think this the reliance on artificial intelligence here to mark those targets and basically the deadly way in which the officers spoke about how they were using the machine could very well be part of the reason why in the first, you know, 6 weeks after October 7th, like one of the main characteristics of the policies that were in place were entire Palestinian families being wiped out inside their houses. I mean, if you look at UN statistics, more than 50% of the casualties, more than 6,000 people at that time, came from a smaller group of families. It's an expression of, you know, the family unit being destroyed. And I think that machine and the way it was used led to that.
You talk about the choosing of targets, and you talk about the so-called high-value targets, Hamas commanders, and then the lower-level fighters. And as you said, many of them, in the end, it wasn't either. But explain the buildings that were targeted and the bombs that were used to target them.
Yeah, it's a good question. So what sources told me is that during those first weeks after October, for the low-ranking militants in Hamas, many of whom were marked by Lavender, so we can say alleged militants that were marked by the machine, they had a predetermined what they call collateral damage degree. And this means that the military's international law departments told these intelligence officers that for each low-ranking target that Lavender marks, when bombing that target, they are allowed to kill, one source said the number was up to 20 civilians. Again, for any Hamas operative, regardless of rank, regardless of importance, regardless of age, one source said that there were also minors being marked. Not many of them, but he said that was a possibility, that there was no age limit. Another source said that the limit was up to 15 civilians for the low-ranking militants. The sources said that for senior commanders in Hamas, so it could be, you know, commanders of brigades or divisions or battalions. The numbers were, for the first time in the IDF's history, in the triple digits, a according to sources. So, for example, Ayman Nofel, who was the Hamas commander of the Central Brigade, a source that took part in the strike against that person, said that the military authorized to kill alongside that person 300 Palestinian civilians. And we've spoken at Plus 972 on Local Call with Palestinians who were witnesses of that strike. And they speak about, you know, four quite large residential buildings being bombed on that day. You know, entire apartments filled with families being bombed and killed. And that source told me that this is not a, you know, it's not some mistake. Like the amount of civilian, of this 300 civilian, it was known beforehand to the Israeli military. And sources described that to me, and they said that, I mean, one source said that during those weeks at the beginning, effectively, the principle of proportionality, as they call it, under international law, quote, did not exist.
So there's two programs. There's Lavender and there's Where's Daddy. How did they even know where these men were, innocent or not?
Yeah, so the way the system was designed is there is this concept in generally in systems of mass surveillance called linking. When you want to automate these systems, you want to be able to very quickly, you know, you get, for example, an ID of a person, and you want to have a computer be very quickly able to link that ID to other stuff. And what sources told me is that since everybody in Gaza has a home, has a house, or at least that was the case in the past, the system was designed to be able to automatically link between individuals and houses. And in the majority of cases, these households that are linked to the individuals that Lavender is marking as low-ranking militants are not places where there is active military action taking place, according to sources. Yet the way the system was designed, and programs like Where is Daddy, which were designed to search for these low-ranking militants when they enter houses. Specifically, it sends an alert to the intelligence officers when these AI-marked suspects enter their houses. The system was designed in a way that allowed the Israeli military to carry out massive strikes against Palestinians, sometimes militants, sometimes alleged militants, who we don't know, when they were in these spaces, in these houses. And the sources said, you know, CNN reported in December that 45% of the munitions, according to U.S. intelligence assessments, that Israel dropped on Gaza were unguided, so-called dumb bombs that have, you know, a larger damage to civilians. They destroy the entire structure. And sources said that for these low-ranking operatives in Hamas, they were only using the dumb munitions, meaning they were collapsing the houses on everybody inside. And when you ask intelligence officers why, one explanation they give is that these people were, quote, unimportant. They were not important enough from a military perspective that the Israeli army would, one source said, waste expensive munitions, meaning more guided floor bombs that could have maybe taken just a particular floor in the building. And to me, that was very striking because, you know, you're dropping a bomb on a house and killing entire families, yet the target that you are aiming to assassinate by doing so is not considered important enough to, quote, waste an expensive bomb on. And I think it's a very rare reflection of sort of the way, you know, the way the Israeli military measures the value of Palestinian lives in relation to expected military gain, which is the principle of proportionality. And I think one thing that was very, very clear from all the sources that I spoke with is that, you know, this was they said it was psychologically shocking, even for them, you know, like it was. So that's the combination between Lavender and Where is Daddy. The Lavender lists are fed into Where is Daddy, and these systems track the suspects and wait for the moments that they enter houses, usually family houses or households where no military action takes place, according to several sources who did this, who spoke to me about this. And these houses are bombed using unguided missiles. This was a main characteristic of Israeli policy in Gaza, at least for the first weeks.
You write that they said they didn't have as many smart bombs. They were more expensive, so they